I want to talk to you today about not worrying. Or I say not worrying. Listen, and before you say, I don't worry, tell the truth, you're in church. And I think this is a message that, and I think every message that is preached, that if you have an open heart, you can learn from it and recognize there's areas that we need to grow in. But how many know there are some messages that, man, we have an easy application for? Like, man, it's, whoa, I need this. And I think this is one of those messages that is really going to speak in a powerful way to every single person that's here. Let me just tell you this. Let me tell you this in advance. You know what? You are not, you should not be worrying. We should not be worrying. We ought to be the most relaxed, carefree, you know what? It's all going to be okay, people on the face. Matter of fact, you know what? One of the things that should attract people to Jesus Christ, oh, this is good, is you. One of the main things that it should attract Jesus Christ is you as they see how worry-free you are. How many know there are some things that can attract you? You know what? So, you know, you go to Dodger Stadium and they got the guy and he's got the hot dogs and what is he? You know, he's yelling, hot dogs or whatever. He's peanuts, peanuts. There's one guy at Dodger Stadium, and he throws the peanuts to people. Do you guys know this guy? Throws the peanuts. I mean, you know what? Oh, you want a peanut? Hey, boom. You know what I mean? And he just, and it's very, you know what? I mean, you know, you don't even want peanuts. And all of a sudden, you're thinking, man, I want some peanuts. You know, hey, you don't throw one to me. Right? Of course, you got to give him $8, but you know what I mean? Right? Right? But all I'm saying is there's things that, listen, in this society of high stress, one of the main things that can attract people to Jesus is you walking in the joy of the Lord and His kindness and His peace. Amen? You know, there's a reality of God wants us to live days and weeks and months and years and lifestyle of peace and joy. And this world with all its chaos, with all its imperfections, with all its stuff that we allow that stuff to get in us and become part of it. See, what happens is the junk in the world, our homes are opened up and that comes into our home. It comes into our car. It comes into our, watch this, all eyes up here. It comes into our homes. It comes into our cars. It comes into our lives. And what God wants is He wants you to be such a person filled with His peace that you get into your home and you infect your spouse and your children and your grandchildren and you start to say, this is how we roll at the Cohen home or at the Sanchez home or at the whatever your last name is. This is how we roll at our home. And that becomes how your children are raised and they and the peace of God starts to get in them. And then you go to your workplace and you start to infect others in that situation. Does that make sense? Instead of the other way around where they're infecting you and you're just, You don't have days of peace. That for some of you, you don't have days of peace. And those days add up, and you don't have weeks of peace, and you don't have months of peace, and you don't have years of peace. And listen to me. And the reason why that's so so wrong is because one of the things that we read last week in Isaiah, Jesus Christ died. Remember last week we talked about, you know what, we ought to walk in health. Why? Because that is right. Why? Because Jesus Christ, because of his stripes on his back, we were healed. So God paid for that. We ought to walk in that. Amen? Well, we ought to walk in his peace too. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. In other words, just like there has been a transfer that your unrighteousness, that his became his unrighteousness on the cross. He took all your sins that you would become the righteousness of Christ in Christ Jesus, right? So now you have right standing before God because he took your sin. Wave your hand, this making sense to you? Just like that happened, so happened, he took those stripes on his back that you would walk in victory in your health. Just like that, you know what? There was all this anxiety and junk that was put upon him that you could walk in peace. And I don't know who, but for many, 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 maybe every person here, I don't know. But for many of you, you know what? You can't remember the last day that you walked in peace. And maybe you've experienced it for a couple hours. But God doesn't intend for you to experience it for a couple hours. He intends that to be how you live. So, how many know this is going to be good to learn? How many need to learn this? Raise your hand if you need to learn this. I'm just asking. Okay. So, ever say, don't worry. Philippians chapter 4. You guys don't have this in the back. Philippians chapter 4. But guys, go ahead, get that as soon as you can. Verse 6, Philippians. Chapter 4, verse 6. You know what it says. Be anxious for what? Nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. So I want to tell you why you need to not worry. Number one, everybody say number one. You need to not worry because Jesus said, don't worry. Pastor, that's pretty simple. It is simple. Guys, you can go ahead and turn to that Matthew chapter 6. In the back, you have this. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, look what it says, verse 25. Just look at this first part. Therefore, I say to you, this Jesus talking to people, he says this, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. What's in your life? How many know that's what he's saying? He's saying, don't worry about your life. Well, what do you worry about? You worry about your life. He's saying, stop it. I don't want you to do that. And if all we did was just stay here, we're not. But if all we did is stay here, you know, it's enough. It should be enough for us just to follow the commandment of God. See, we're not used to that. We're like, hey, say please. You know what? Say please and with the smile and, you know what, and with the cherry on top. Listen, God is in charge of us. Our life is not our own. You know what? And God should be able to tell us what to do. If we just stop here, this should be good enough. Here's why you shouldn't worry. Because God said, don't worry. Don't worry. And it's interesting because, you know what, that commandment, it can, you, you, choose what you're going to think about. We don't understand that we choose what we're going to think about because, watch this, we have become so proficient at not controlling our minds. You ever exercised and the trainer has you doing an exercise that you've never done? Maybe you're doing inclines with barbells and you're not used to that. You've done the bench, but you've never been on an incline machine, which means you're kind of it's this kind of board that you lay back on, not flat, but on this incline. And you have these dumbbells, and you're not used to doing it because you've never done this exercise. And as soon as you do it, because you haven't exercised those muscles, you know what? When you first do it, your arms will go way out, like, you know, you're like, ah, you know, they'll be all over. And the trainer will be like, no. He's like, no, not like that. Well, he knows how to do it. You know what I mean? You want to keep your arms in and lift it up like this. And even when you go down, sometimes you'll go down and they'll be like, whoa. You know, because you're not used to doing that. People haven't taught on the discipline of controlling your mind. You can think whatever you want to think. And listen, and the reason why you think you can't think what you want to think, did you hear that? Did you catch that? That was like a Maxwell Smart. But the reason why you think that you can't think the way you want to think is because you haven't done that before. You have been so used to just, you know what, thinking whatever you think, and you go here and you go there and your mind wanders all over the place. And you can't do that in the kingdom of God. Why? Because your actions will follow your mind. And you're going to be accountable for your actions. So you've got to make a decision to stay focused on what you're going to think. You know why Jesus can tell you, don't worry? Because it's in your control not to worry. He'd be some kind of evil maniac to tell you something, command you to do something that you didn't have the power to do. So, number one, stop arguing with God that you can't not worry. Stop thinking that you can't not worry. The simple fact that Jesus tells us, don't worry, should be enough for you to understand that you cannot worry. But you can't not worry unless you're on purpose. You have to make a quality decision that today I'm not going to worry. Let me break it down for you. And some of you, the reason why you won't be successful in saying, I'm not going to worry today, is because you have developed worry so much in your life and you do it all day. So you don't say you're not going to worry today. Say you're not going to worry for the next 4 hours. Some of you can't do that. Some of you need to say, I can't worry for the next 2 hours. Some of you need to say, I'm not going to worry for the next hour. Some of you need to say, I'm not going to worry for the next 5 minutes. Here's why. Because your mind has gone from, watch this, from worry to worry to worry. You know what? Like, you do that cabbage patch all day long. You know what I mean? Right? You just go from worry to worry to worry to worry to worry. And then you hear me say, you come to church, you hear your pastor say, don't worry, because God said don't worry. And you're thinking, yeah, but I don't even know how not to do that. Well, here's how you do it. Don't worry. See, don't go there. And you're so used to after there, then you go here, and then you go here. You're so used to doing all you have to, just here. Just don't worry for 5 minutes. Now, in a little bit, I'm going to teach you how to do this. I'm going to give you a practical application. But I'm telling you, the commandment should be enough. We're so used to listening to the commandment of God. It's a crazy, scary thing that the body of Christ, that people who go to church hear what God says and then don't do it. You know, the Bible says it's the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There needs to be, what's the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord is to understand that everything God says is going to happen. Well, why don't we have that? Can I tell you why we don't have it? We don't have that for the most part because God is slow to wrath. Can I tell you what? Everything that God says, people who reject God in their life are the most foolish people in the world. Why? Because he loves you more than anybody in the world. He has the best for you more than anything in the world. And listen, and God is so long-suffering. What is long-suffering? It means you can, I'm going to say it like this, because we need to understand. See, we think disobedience towards God is no big deal. But it's a huge deal. Because what you're doing, and I know this is a different word picture, but I want you to get this word picture because I want you to understand how offensive it is to imagine, you go to McDonald's and you're sitting with your friend and you buy him a meal and he gets whatever he wants and you say, hey, get whatever you want, and you buy him a meal, whatever he wants, and then you get what you want, but you didn't order fries. For whatever reason, because you didn't want fries. But when you see his fries, you want some of those fries. And you don't want all of those fries. You don't even want five of those fries. You just want two of them. And so you take two of his fries. Can you imagine if when you took two of those fries, he took your hand and just slapped it? I mean, not just like slapped it, you know what I mean? You'd be thinking, what in the world? Well, I mean, you don't have to tell me, but what would you think? I'll tell you what. This is the last time I'm buying this guy any fries, you know what I mean? And you bought him his whole meal. Jesus, God, you needed a Savior. God gave his son. Died on, this ain't two French fries. This is his son. Died on a cross, bled on a cross, was beaten, humiliated. And you and I have just done this. We just go to God. I'm telling you what, we have no idea how wrong this kind of behavior is. It's just absolutely crazy wrong. But listen, God will put up with it. Listen, for a while. Why? Because he's hopeful that before the end happens, that you will go, man, I got to love that guy. That guy's given everything for me. That's what he's hopeful. But if you don't, at some point in time, he's going to say, it's over. You have chosen to reject me, and I will allow you to reap the consequences from rejecting me. That's the truth. That is as much part of the gospel as anything else. It is. That is the truth. So why aren't we quick to obey? Here's why. Because we walk in that what's called a dispensation, it just means a period of time where God allows stuff to happen and he doesn't bring a consequence. So we think that consequence is going to go forever. Hello? Like the person who goes out to the discos. Do they still have discos? I don't know. You know what? And then she goes home with somebody, and she, you know what, sleeps with that person. You know what? And the next day, she's like, ain't no big deal. Ain't no big deal. I'm cool. Yeah, you're cool, mama. Did you catch that? Yeah. You caught, huh? Oh, you're cool, mama. You're like, why you call me mama? Because you're pregnant. Why are you not freaked out? Because you have no idea that you're pregnant. But you are pregnant. See, here's what I'm saying. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Just because you're walking in this deception that you're not pregnant doesn't mean you're not pregnant. Just because you think that God is never going to have any consequences for your rejecting him doesn't mean they're not coming. It just means you don't know they're not coming. And that's why the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What's the fear of me? That everything God says is going to happen. That's wisdom. Because you start recognizing, no, God said it, I'm going to do it. And it might take I could get away with it for a little bit. But I'd rather be quick to be obedient because I'm going to walk in his blessings. That's a wise person. Hello, you understand what I'm saying? So a wise person, God says, don't worry. We just say, yes, sir. I only have, if I only had one point, just don't worry because God said, don't worry. Yes, I'm not going to worry. I'm going to set my decision on not worrying. Even though that's all I've done all my life, even though I am the most proficient worrier that you've ever met, I make a decision right now because God said, don't worry. I'm not going to do that. Did y'all come to learn today? So make that decision this morning. Number one, we shouldn't worry. Why? Because God said don't do it. Number two, you shouldn't worry because, you know what? It's useless. You know, the Bible says, Matthew 6, verse 27. Look what he says. Which of you, by worrying, can add a cubit to its stature? Well, you know what God's saying? He's in a practical way. You know what? You're 5'11", you want to be 6 foot tall, and you're like, I wish I was taller. Okay, how's that work out for you? It doesn't work. Listen, worry doesn't work. Everybody say, worry doesn't work. Doesn't change anything. Worry doesn't work. Can I tell you what worry is? Worry is faith in the negative. Worry really is trusting that something bad is going to happen. Ooh, is that productive? It's not productive at all. It's just the opposite. Worrying is useless, but it's just the opposite. It's more than useless. Number three, don't worry because worry makes people sick. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. Look what it says. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. See, a merry heart. Ever say merry heart? Man, it does good like a medicine. But this thought of this broken spirit, oh, I wonder what's going to happen. It probably is not going to work. You know, it's just, oh, my goodness. It is, you know, there's all this medical research. And they spend all this money finding out what they could have found out by just turning to Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. Much of the medicine that is being prescribed is medicine being prescribed to alleviate this worry in your life. worry, stress. It just, listen, it fills our, the medical profession will tell you this. It fills, I mean, so much nowadays of the medicine prescribed is prescribed, listen to me, by well-intended medical profession who are trying to fix a spiritual problem with medicine. So what they're doing is they are what's the word I'm looking for? They are medicating. They are anesthetizing. Help me out. No? They're numbing. They are numbing. Numbing is a good word. I'll use that. They're numbing your anxiety. Here, you know what I mean? Take a pill. You know what I mean? You need to take a pill. You know what I mean? Take a chill pill. That's what it is. You know what I mean? There's like, you know what? Well, okay, take a pill. You know what I mean? Hello? And the problem is, this is, the Bible says, you know, your grandparents used to do this. You know what? They'd take a shot of whiskey. That's what they do. They'd come, oh, man, Bewitched, you know what I mean? Darren would come in, and what would Samantha do? She'd make him a drink. Hello? And why? He'd been at work. You know what I mean? We need it. I mean, here, Darren. We don't do that so much. Well, actually, some people still do. But anyway, moving on. But we, you know what? We'll go to the doctor and he'll say, oh, yes, you know what? You have, and whatever he comes up with it. You know what I mean? You have hypertension. You have, you know what I mean? And you feel all dignified. No. Let me tell you what. And I'm not saying that this is completely out of order, but I'm saying much of it is they're trying to deal with the spiritual problem, and they don't. But see, they don't know. I remember one time, Jimmy Evans, when he was a young man, he went into his doctor. Doctors don't think, I mean, he had a good doctor. Doctors really don't think this way, and he went in. And he just wanted, that's what he wanted. He just wanted a pill because he was always thinking and always stressful. And he just told his doctor this, and he expected his doctor to write, prescription and give him, medicine, drug him up. And the doctor said, okay, walked out of, the nurse came in with, this was back in the day, a cassette tape and said, hey, listen to this. And he says this. He said, you know what? I was like, hey, I don't want that. Just give me a pill. He was irritated. Because let me tell you what, that's how we are. But can I tell you what? A pill, somebody said over here, a pill really won't work. Because it's just dealing with the symptoms. It's just masking the symptoms. You know how many people, you know what, take pills? To take pills. And then next thing you know, they can't get off the pills. You know what a problem nowadays? These are good people. Some of them, you know what? Love God. But the doctor didn't say, hey, bro, I can't fix your problem because it has a spiritual base. See, we have to recognize, number one, we need not worry because God said it. Number two, we need not worry because this stuff is making us sick. And even a lot of the pills now, they are for hypertension and whatever, stress and all this. But there's a bunch of diseases that are caused by stress. Now you're going to get a pill. You know what? You have high blood pressure. And the only reason you don't have, the only reason you have high blood pressure is because you're not casting your care, because you have developed worry so much in your life that it is infected and it affects your body. Your spirit or your dysfunction in your spirit will affect your body. I'm preaching better than you're saying amen.
Amen.
You know what? And so, and here's the thing about worry. Oh, man, I wrote this down. I was like, that is, you know what? That is helpful. Follow me in this. Stay with me. Worry is anticipation that something is going to go wrong. First of all, understand this. That probably close to 95% of stuff that you worry about never is even going to happen. They asked T.D. Jakes, what is one thing you'd change in your life if you could change? And he immediately said this. He said, here's what it would be. He said, I wouldn't have worried about all the stuff I worried about from 5 to 55. Because out of all the stuff I worried about from 5 to 55, almost none of it happened. Listen, get this. Almost all the stuff you are worrying about today is never even going to happen to you. And listen, and even the small percentage that is going to happen to you, it won't have nearly the negative effect as you think it's going to have in your life. Now, don't get off my train of listening right now. But your body won't distinguish the difference in you worrying about what might happen next week. It can't tell the difference. You worrying about what might happen next week is just like it happening in the physical effect of your body. Okay, we need to soak that in. We need to catch this. Your body isn't able to distinguish the fake from the real. Your mind is so God has developed, and this is God, because God has developed. Here, let me prove it to you. Why are you sitting where you're sitting today? Because you like it. No, not a wrong answer. I mean, that might be true, and I'm glad you're here. And I'm, you know, so, but why are you sitting here? Why are you sitting in the South Sanctuary? Why do we have a South Sanctuary? Thank you. The reason why we have a South Sanctuary is because I came in there one day, and I thought, man, I bet you we can get a slew more people in this room than in the North Sanctuary. And this wall, I envisioned it down. I would come on over here. The ping pong table was here. The pool table is here. You know what? The couches were over here. You know what? Fireplace right back here. You know that? The wall, if you look at the carpet, the wall was right here. Boom, right here. Big old wall. And I used to open up this door. There was a door here. I used to open up this door here. I used to come over here, and I used to have to prop that door open because it tended to close. And I'd sit here, and I would envision, because I'd look at that far wall over there, and I would envision this church without that wall there. One time I had Joel help me because we had that wall here, so I couldn't set up the chairs. But I acted like there was a corner platform in that corner, and we set up all the chairs like this as much as we could. Why? Because I wanted to vision it as much as I could. And when we set it up, you know what I did? I took a picture of that. Why? because I look at it in my phone all the time. See, your imagination was built to envision stuff that is not here. And then you'd say, and what would you say? I'd say, man, you know what? We're going to build a South Sanctuary. It's going to be cutting edge. We're not going to have your skinny little thing where there are people weighing in the back. You know what I mean? Disconnect. No, we're going to have people. I'm going to have the center, this corner stage, and people are going to be wrapped all around. And even the back row is going to be relatively close. And it's going to be awesome. And we're going to have awesome lighting. And we're going to have great sound. We're going to put the drum in. We're going to have you know what? We're not going to have a shield. We're going to have a sound studio. It's going to be awesome. Your imagination was built to imagine the things that God put in there. But instead, we're imagining the things that might happen in the negative. And your body can't tell the two apart. So you are reaping these negative things in your flesh. And it didn't even happen yet. It's true. Amen. It's absolutely true. Okay. Number one, we should not worry because Jesus said it. Number two, because it's useless. Number three, because your body is making your body sick. Number four, because it distorts reality. It distorts reality. You start thinking in the negative towards your spouse, towards your kids, towards your job, towards your yada, 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 whatever it is. And all of a sudden, listen, you ever talk to somebody who's delusional? You're like, yeah, she's sitting right next to me. Yeah, he's sitting right next to me. Okay, knock it off. But you ever talk to somebody who's like, they are delusional. They're like, But you know what? And you're trying to talk them out. You're trying to say, that's not really going on. That's not. And it's like they're in the twilight zone. You're like that music. Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. Where's that going from? You're like, that's not real. Hey, listen. And you stop. You recognize, some point in time, you recognize, I'm not going to talk them out of it. You know why you're not going to talk them out of it? Because it is so real in here. Can I warn you? Worry will drive you crazy. I'm not trying to be offensive, but I'm trying to be real. Worry will drive you crazy. And you'll start to think something is real and it's not even real. Your imagination is very powerful. Okay, you ready to get on the solution side? Have I convinced you that we need to not worry? So how are we going to do that? We're going to do it three ways, real quick, real simple, real quick, real easy. Number one, recognize we win. So let me tell you a story. There's this pastor. He's big Dallas fan, Dallas Cowboy fan. And he's got a staff and big fan. They're in the playoffs. You know what? After church, he invites everybody over. The game is one of those awesome games. It's like they score, we score, they score, we score, they score, we score. And it comes down to the last drive. There's only a minute and a half. They're doing the 10 and outs, and the guy's just picking out of bounds, boom, 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 boom. And it's really, really, really intense. And all the staffs are screaming. And every play is a big deal. And you know what? And at one point, it's you know what? They don't move the chain, so it's fourth down. And sure enough, they get another 12 yards. And everybody's screaming. And the whole time, the pastor is just kicking back in his lounge chair. Just totally relaxed. And the staff is so into the game, they don't even recognize what's going on. They're like, you know what I mean? At some point in time, one of the staff members looks over and sees the senior pastor, and he knows this is a bigger Cowboy fan than any of us. And he is totally chilled. Anyway, the Cowboys score. They win. Last play of the game, yada, yada, yada. The one staff member looks over at Pastor and says, Pastor, what in the world? Why were you so relaxed? He said, oh, that's easy. Because before the game started, my wife recorded the game. And she told me before we sat down that the Cowboys were going to win, you know what, 21-19. See, listen, what you know what? David says, why am I so freaking out? Why so downcast, oh my soul? You know what? We just need to, you know what? Recognize we win. Read the end of the book. Amen. We win. Jesus is going to come back. He's going to take all our saints up. He's going to set up a new world. You know what? We're going to reign here with him. Then he's going to create a new heaven. And we're going to be there with him. We're going to reign with him forever and ever. You know what? And you're worried about whether you're going to catch the water guy tomorrow. It's like, really? There's something very comforting of looking at the big picture and just saying, hey, we win. Guys, can I give you a revelation? We win. We win. Number one, just remember that we win. Number two, recognize your inability to do anything. Wait, is that a misprint? No. Recognize your inability to do anything. Why? Here's why that's so important. Here's why that affects your worry. Because when you come to the realization that you are completely ineffective to do anything, you won't stop worrying. Here's what you're gonna say. Here's what you're gonna say. Oh, you know what? Can I preach? Can I worship? Can I lead worship? Can I preach? Can I play guitar? Can I effectively, you know what? Can I raise my kids? Can I be a good spouse to my wife? Can I, you know what I mean? Here's what you do. No. I can't. Everybody say this. Say, I am completely unable to do anything. Okay, now say it again, but when we say to do anything, we're going to go like this. To do anything. Ready? I am completely unable to do anything. Man. Do you see how therapeutic that was? I can't do anything. You know what? And you recognizing that you can't do anything will do a better chill pill than all the doctors, you know what, in the world. Because why? Because you recognize, I can't do anything. How many know that's very empowering? Let me tell you why it's so empowering. Because my final point, and I'll end with this, is when you get to that point, Bible says, humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you. See, when you recognize you can't do anything, it's you know what? You know where the starting of greatness is? The starting of greatness is the beginning of humility. Somebody write that down so we can tweet that. The starting of greatness is at the beginning of humility. Because when you finally recognize that you can't do anything is when you will start to rely and recognize you need God's help. God gives more grace to the humble. You know what grace is? Grace is God empowering you supernaturally to do what you cannot do on your own. Amen. So when you sit there and I can do nothing, that's a great place. Well, here's why. Because it's a humble spirit says that. And it's that humble spirit that Jesus Christ then comes alongside you and says, why? Not because he's not all there the whole time, but God resists the proud. You know, I told you this, you know what, but it's a great story. When I was little, you know those crackers that come in that, in the, they give you two crackers with your salad? Well, we used to, you know what, when I used to get those crackers at a restaurant, whatever, I was 3 years old, I wanted to open the crackers. But I didn't have the ability, because the dexterity to do that. So by the time I would get the thing open, the crackers would be crumbs, and I'd start crying. Thank you. So my mom, being, wanting to help her son, when that happened the next time, she'd take the crackers and she'd say, "Drew, let me help you." In which I would say, "No, I want to do it myself." See, here's why understanding that you can do nothing is so helpful. Because, you know what, you've got to figure out, either you're going to work and God's going to rest, or you're going to rest and God's going to work. But he won't allow, I'm going to run my life. Well, ding, you know what I mean? When I was in high school, that's what we used to say, ding. I mean, like, you're dingling, you know what I mean? Dang, dang, dang. You've been running that car into the wall for 12 years. No, but I know who I'm going to date. You know what? I know. You know what? Well, of course. Ding. You know what? God says, don't be unevenly yoked. Yeah, but I'm 31 already. No, I'm just going to go. No, really. No, really. You can find good guys at the bars. Ding. You know what? No, you're running your own life. And if you're going to run your own life, then God sits there and says, okay, run it. Go for it. You know, go for it. But if you, listen, if I keep on saying, you know what? No, I'm going to open it. You know what? Then I won't let my mom open it. And I'm going to have that crumpled. See, the beginning of greatness is the beginning of humility. See, if you'll do that, if you humble out and say, I can't do anything. Because that's the place that God says, good. Let me help you. And you have the humility. If you understand you can't drive. Yeah, I wanted to have a clip because it's a great clip. You know what I mean? You know, we need to be like Magoo. Who's a Magoo? You know what? I mean, just, you know what? You see this in the beginning of Mr. Magoo. You know, he's like, you know, they're just driving and all this stuff is happening. And it's just like, how in the world is that happening in your life? You know, how in the world? Let me tell you why. God, amen. You need to be me, Mr. Magoo's. You know what I mean? I don't know how it happens. Is it going to happen? You know what God's going to do? I'm going to let him drive. You know what? I'm going to be empowered by the presence of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to wake up. I'm going to say, listen. And here's what's going to happen. And you're going to be peaceful. Did you notice how peaceful it was when you said, I can do nothing? Stop thinking you can do something. Start to walk in the humility of God. Because here's what happens. More grace comes to who? The supernatural empowerment of God. One more thing, and Tamara can come up in a minute. But listen to me. Understand this. You ever remember in junior high, and you were like going to be picked? You know, they were gonna, okay, two captains. You know, I'll pick you. You know what I mean? Okay. Can I tell you what? You would be the first one that God would pick. Well, yeah, but how can he be? How can we all be the first one? I don't know. I'm just saying. If God had to pick someone, he would go, I pick Isaac first. Now, I don't know how he picks me and Isaac, but he does. It's a wonder. You know what a wonder is? I wonder if something happens and you go, huh? I wonder how that happened. That's good. I don't know, but I do know this. You know what? I was in prayer yesterday, and you know what? Led by the Holy Spirit, and he said, you know what? Tell the people, you would be his first pick. God is not against you. He's for you. But we just have to take a spirit of humility and say, God, I need help. That's going to draw you to your knees. It's going to put you in prayer every morning. That's going to say, God, I can't do this. Sweetie. Did you learn anything today?
Yes. Yeah.
Can I get that bulletin I just dropped? The bulletin I just dropped?
Oh,
yes. Thank you. I had an interesting week this week. I found out about a study. It's called psychoneural immunology. And the reason that came to me this week is a doctor had shared that with me. I was working with someone who is working with cancer. And as we were on the phone with the doctor and talking with the doctor began to ask. He said, let me ask you some questions. Has there been anything traumatic, or most specifically anything since it is prostate cancer that we're dealing with, anything financially burdensome that's been going on lately? And it was interesting because the guy's like, wow, it's kind of like, how did you know? And then the doctor began to share about this psychoneural immunology. And he said, there's studies that have been going on for several years. And he said, this will probably be mainstream in about 10 years because this is really getting a lot of momentum. Where they are beginning, I'm listening to this call and I'm thinking, it's the word of God.
Exactly.
God told us this a long time ago. We have no idea how we harm ourselves when we don't love this word for what it is. We have no idea what God has given us. We have no idea how much this is Him. We don't treat it like this, you know what I mean? But we should. The more time I spend with God and in His house and in His word, it's like, wow. No wonder they're smuggling these things in and dying for them in places. No wonder. But not us. We're like, has anyone seen my Bible? And as this doctor began to share that, and he said, there's a lot of studies. He said, the reason, and of course, it was right on the money. This gentleman said, well, yes. And he said, well, and he started talking about these studies, and he started going through what studies are connected to what parts of the body. And he said, financial stress specifically will show up in like the pelvic area, is what they're finding in all these studies. And so my oldest sister passed away from breast cancer. My baby sister has had breast cancer. And so I'm just listening. And I said, can I ask you a question, doctor, right at the end? I said, can you just tell me, what do they associate with breast cancer? And then he went through it, and I was like, wow. I mean, on the money. Why is it important to us? It's important to us because God said a lot of stuff to us that we don't, that scripture in Matthew Did he ask us not to worry, or did he command us not to worry? See, he has commanded us, do not worry. We don't walk around like our Lord has commanded us not to worry. You know what I mean? We don't take it with that, do we? And because we don't, we lose. We lose. You know, you ever heard of like when a husband or a wife will pass away, and just within a short amount of time, guess who else passes away? They have a broken heart. There's so much study, and we know this. I could probe a couple other things out of you. You go, yeah, that's true, that's true. There's so many studies that prove what God's word says. We need to start to look at the word of God with a freshness that we've never seen it before. The Bible says, here's one. Laughter doeth good like a medicine. They've got, in America, this sadness and worry and all this stuff that's going on is a big deal. Antidepressants are being handed out like candy. Like candy. They're handing them out in the schools to your children without your permission. They don't have to have your permission. Insanity is what's happening in America today. But he commanded us, don't worry. In 2016, they said that one out of every six Americans is on an antidepressant. And yet we're supposed to be one nation under God. We all know our God, right? It went from 6.8% to 13%. It doubled in 1 year, said the American Journal of Medical Association. They're just handing it out. But we have the word of God, that the joy of the Lord is our strength, and commands us not to worry. And he tells us, hey, look at the sparrow. Do they worry? If I take care of them, are you not so much more important to me? Where's Angel? Where'd he go? We were sharing our takeaways yesterday on yesterday's Bible reading, and I pray that you did yours and that you have a takeaway. But it was, Angel's was really cool because JC, help me. It said, and the angels desired to look into these things, talking about us and the salvation that's been given us. And the angels desire to look into these things. Wow, we just don't know what we have, amen? I'm going to pray over you right now, and I pray that you will do yourself a huge favor and begin to fall in love with the Word of God and the things of God like you never have. That we would just begin to come into an understanding of that which we do have. Amen? Because we have so much. And everything we need is right here. Everything we need. Father, I just thank you for the truth that you're leading us into, Lord. That so much of what you've given us, Father, we haven't even begun to understand or tap it. Just from our own lack of willingness to. But Lord, I thank you that today is a new day, a different day, that you're stirring your people, that we would begin to fall in love with you and your word like we never have. I pray that every person that is hearing my words, Father, that the blood of Jesus and the Spirit of God would begin to impact their lives in a greater way from this day forward than it ever has. I thank you for all that you're doing in each one of us and what you're doing here in the kingdom. I give you glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.